on WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
How was your prayer circle last night?
Sheridan, think of this, Sheridan. Just think of it. If prayer changed things,
yeah,
we'd all be in trouble. Try to imagine 8 billion people, how many people on there are storming heaven simultaneously, okay? Every one of them has something different that they want. And it's all bombarding poor God at the same time. So he's throwing his papers around, wondering, oh my gosh, this guy wants this guy wants that, who to answer? Imagine God, he finally plugs his ears, grinds his teeth in holy exasperation, and says, well, what do I do now? To me, this is a worse scenario than if God just ignored all of us and continued with his plan.
Yeah.
Which he came up with his plan a long time ago, when everything was calm and peaceful and humanity wasn't on the scene yet. He came up with a plan that he is accomplishing today, and not one thing we do is going to derail that plan.
The modern teaching on prayer, very much like the modern teaching on salvation, man always wants to contribute something. To tell mankind that even his prayers aren't going to change the purpose of God is offensive to him, because man wants to play God, either in his salvation. He wants to think there's something that he contributed to his salvation. And the same thing with prayer. They think that man is contributing to helping God out.
Yes.
By praying the right prayers.
Prayer is God letting us touch the steering wheel on the car. It's like you see a kid. My dad used to let me touch the steering wheel. It's a big deal. I'm riding with my dad. I'm 8 years older. My big dad, and he's driving the car, and he knows where he's going. And I remember the thrill of him letting me touch the steering wheel.
And would a child say, well, if all I can do is touch the steering wheel,
I don't
why
be
bother?
With you.
Why
bother?
Should I do it
anyway? And
anyways?
What earthly father would say, kid, take the wheel. An 8-year-old, take the wheel. I'm going to take a nap in the back.
You go where you want. Only a real idiot who belongs in jail.
An irresponsible father. So do we imagine now that our father tells us to take the steering wheel and I'll go where you want me to go?
Mm.
Come on, I'll go where you want me to go. And yet we do participate, but we participate by finding out where God is going and then touching the steering wheel.
Exactly.
He is going to go where he's going to go because he tells the end from the beginning,
and it honors God as God puts him in his right place.
Yes.
And it shows man in what he is in his right place. It puts everyone in the proper role.
When everybody is in the proper role, then everybody's happy.
Right.
And if you're in the improper role, if you're being told that you can turn God's hand, then you can't have a quiet and peaceful life thinking
right.
that it all depends on you every minute of every day. You have to, again, you have to pray the right way. We joked yesterday about the prayer circle. We started out with a facetiousness there about, well, did you pray? Did you get the right circle? Did you have enough people?
Yeah.
Did you use the right words? I mean, there are sects of Christianity that have these prayer formulas, and it's all the pressure's on you as if God's waiting to hear what
exactly.
you're
going to do. Exactly. And prayer today has become another idol, and people talk about saying your prayers. Never say your prayers. Don't ever say your
that's
prayers.
That's what we did in the Catholic Church.
That's like, you know, there's two terms that are almost, I think they're bad and they're satanic. One of them is, I'm going to church. The second one is, say your prayers.
Say your prayers.
Those are probably the two worst doctrinal statements in the world. They're so bad. One gives a wrong conception of church and has turned it over to the adversary, and the other one gives the wrong conception of prayer and turned that over to the adversary.
But that's what we did in the Catholic religion.
We said in the Protestant religion.
Right.
It's the same thing.
We said, so many Our Fathers, so many Hail Marys. It's
say
like,
your prayers. Say
and,
your
prayer. And if you say enough of them, and praying the rosary as well, it's like God responds to the number of prayer. And this is the exact opposite of what our Lord said. He says, the Pharisees think that
by their...
I did say Pharisees at first, but I'm changing my ways. The Pharisees at first said by their loquaciousness, they think they're reaching God. By the many prayers, by the many words, the more words they say, the more they're reaching God.
Yeah.
It's like getting your metal ball stuck in a metal hole on the pinball machine. Brrr, you just keep racking up the points, the more you can. Brrr, and some people pray like that. Oh, blah, 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 blah. That's not impressing God at all.
No.
And I mentioned a verse yesterday. I didn't go to it, but it's in 1 John 5:14. And we do want to have boldness toward God, but what kind of boldness? Do we want to have the boldness in the form of audacity that says, God, I know where this train needs to go. I know where you need to drive this car. Let me show you the way. We need to go here. That's not boldness. That's audacity. 1 John 5:14, and this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we should be requesting anything according to his will, he is hearing us. According to his will.
Yep.
So what's the first thing we're to do? Discern his will, because it's not going to change.
Yep.
If God's got the train going to Boston,
it's going to
Boston.
There's
nothing you're going to do to switch tracks and get that train to New York. And so discern where it's going, and then pray in accord with where you know it's going. And guess what? Your prayer will come true.
And to be scriptural, we know that John was a circumcision. He was for the Jews, right? And what does Paul say regarding the same subject? He has a very similar thing to us. In Romans 8, he says, the Spirit also is aiding our infirmity. Well, what's our infirmity? For what we should be praying for to accord with what must be.
Yeah.
There are things that must be.
Why? Because God determined them beforehand in his wise counsel.
We are not aware of what those things are. We don't know everything God has determined in every situation.
Thank God.
But the Spirit itself is pleading for us with inarticulate groanings. We don't know what to pray for.
No, if you're honest with yourself, that's
right.
Maturity when you come to the point where I don't know what to pray for. Some people say that's immature. You don't know what to pray for, but this is a mature teaching on prayer here.
Yeah, an intelligent prayer is prayer that recognizes we don't know what we should pray for.
That's actually intelligence.
Exactly.
I don't know what to pray for. The Spirit within me is aiding my infirmity. I heard a story once of a guy. He had bumper stickers on his car, and every bumper sticker of every politician that he put on his car won. And someone said, "You must be a genius. Everybody you promote on your car wins." And the guy says, "Well, here's the way I do it. I find out who wins first, then I put the bumper sticker on." You see, he's praying, he's working in accord with what must be. Find out who wins, then pray, then move toward that. It's like going with the winner. So I'm
nice.
Going to find out where God's going. If I can, if I can't, then I just say, well, the Spirit knows, the Spirit,
yeah.
Let it pray. The Spirit in us is praying with inarticulate groanings.
Right.
I think this is the only way you can pray without ceasing.
One of the prayers of the disciple is, thy kingdom come. Well, did they have to pray that? Was it going to come whether they prayed or not?
It was going to come whether they prayed it or not.
Exactly. So that prayer was in conformity with what his
revealed
plan was.
Our Lord told the disciples to pray in accord with what he knew would happen. This is an equivalent of, I'm touching the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Okay, you 12, you want to touch a great steering wheel? Touch this steering wheel. Participate with me in what I am doing. Paul did the same thing, Dan. There are several places where Paul asks, I forget who he asks, but he says, pray for me that I may be given boldness, a spirit of boldness to announce the evangel in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, well, Paul, why are you asking them to pray for that? God already told you that you would be announcing the gospel in Rome. And yet Paul asks, I forget who he's writing to, but he's asking them to pray in accord with what he knows must be. And in this case, God did tell Paul what was to be. In this case, he did make his intention known, and Paul prays in accord with that. He finds out where the train's going, then prays in accord with it. If you don't know where the train's going, go ahead. Lay your prayers out there. Make your requests known to God, but don't think that you're going to steer the train in a different direction. You're not.
Paul said here, he says, pray that to me expression may be granted in the opening of my mouth with boldness, to make known the secret of the evangel, for which I am conducting an embassy in a chain, that in it I should be speaking boldly as I must speak.
There it is. As I must speak.
Because Christ had already told him that.
Christ had already told him that. And let's all touch the steering wheel. This is what Christ told me. Now pray in accord with it. So prayer wasn't a magic formula that was going to make something happen that God had not already decided that would happen. A lot of people maybe are hearing that and thinking, wait a minute, are you guys telling me that God knows ahead of time what's going to happen? Yes. Isaiah 46:10, God tells the end from the beginning.
Yep.
As distasteful as this truth might sound, folks, the future is as set in concrete as the past.
It is.
Now, we know the past is set in concrete. Nobody has the audacity or the stupidity to think you can go into the past and change a fact. But to God, the future is just as set in concrete. And you have, there's no way you are going to change the future. But it's a comfort that God does not give us as we experience this moment. Oh, just went into the past. I'm experiencing it. It's gone. And now the future seems uncertain to me, but it's certain to God. We're ignorant.
That's right. But here's
for the most part.
Paul says in Ephesians 1:10, he says this, that being we are designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. Is there anything that's not operating in accord with the counsel of God's
no,
will?
Not one thing.
Not one thing. And as you pointed out, Isaiah 46:10, well, you keep talking. I'm going to grab my Hebrew scriptures and read that verse.
That's a big verse. I think I have it here. You going to grab it?
I'm going to grab it. You hear that Velcro opening?
Don't. I hate the rip of Velcro. Don't do that to me. Every time you open your Bible, by
Isaiah 46:10, and I'm turning there right now. Isaiah 46:10.
You can get this book, by the way. This book will revolutionize the way you think about prayer. You can go to martinzender.com and buy this book. I highly recommend it. Shirley Dobson needs to read this.
Isaiah 46:9. Remember the former things from the eon. That's looking in the past.
Mm-hmm.
All that happened in the past. For I am El, and there is no other. Elohim. And no other like me. So first he directs you to look to the past. Look at a history.
Mm-hmm.
He's God. Nothing in past has not come from the hand of God. All events. And then he says this. Telling from the beginning the hereafter.
Ooh, that's heavy duty truth.
Doesn't just say he's predicting, he's telling you.
No, I think the King James says knowing the end, but this says telling.
Telling from the beginning the hereafter and from aforetime what has not yet been done. Saying, all my counsel shall be confirmed, and all my desire shall I do.
Not my desire.
No. Let me repeat that.
I have desires. What about
all
them?
All my counsel shall be confirmed, and all my desire shall I do.
Then, God, I'm going to pray toward your well-having. Prayer is toward well-having. I want God to have it well, because when he has it well, everybody's well. As I say, when mama's happy, everybody's happy.
That's right.
I'm not comparing God to mama, but...
And God's desires and God's purposes are the best.
Yes, he loves us, and he's a father to us, and he is going to do the best for us. And he wants you to cry out to him and make your requests known.
That's right.
But when it comes down to it, in the final analysis, who are we to pray any different kind of prayer than our Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? This is what I want. I'd love to escape this. If there's a way out of this, please tell me what it is. But if not, then thy will be done. That's the greatest
not
prayer.
Not that his will won't be done.
Yeah, but that's touching the steering wheel. It's the greatest prayer that can leave your lips. God's will be done.
That's right.
Because it will be
friends,
done.
Stop praying. Stop saying your prayers and pray. Stop saying prayers. Just make your request known to God.
And then the peace of God will garrison your heart. God's going to give you peace when you rest in him. I am Martin Zender. You can reach me at martinzender.com.
I am Dan Sheridan. You can find me at paulsevangel.com.
We're going to be back tomorrow to continue this vast topic of prayer. We hope you're going to be here because we are.
Yeah.